Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to Data Drivers, our weekly show where we tell a story about a trending topic in payments using only three data points. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Winitz, the CMO of I2C. Mark, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen. Great to be here.
So today's topic is the readiness of financial institutions to onboard payments innovation, and it's obviously a very hot topic for a number of reasons. FIs are now forced to address the changing needs of a very digital consumer, one who is mobile first in many cases, while at the same time addressing multiple sets of competitors, the bank across the street and the fintechs that offer either point solutions like lending or digital only banks that appeal to millennials, or the tech giants that have built a variety of payments and banking solutions as well. And so we've got a very rich conversation planned. The data that we're using to drive this discussion is that from our work together to prepare the Bank Innovation Readiness Index, a study that took the temperature of 214 banks to find out how they really define innovation with respect to payments, what they're doing about it, and what in fact may even be holding them back. So Mark, with that as a backdrop, are you ready to dive in?
I am ready. Let's jump into it.
Okay, so here we go. Data point number one, 64%. I think this is actually a good data point. And that is the percentage of FIs that we surveyed who say they're focused on delivering innovation either in the form of new products or new features to existing products. Mark, what do you make of that?
Yeah, an interesting finding, and I think it really sets the stage for the broad landscape of what innovation can mean. There's innovation that's disruptive, highly disruptive, and then there's innovation that's incremental. And either of those count in the conversation around innovation. You know, one isn't better or worse than the other. They each have their own place. What's interesting about the survey data is what it shows is that bigger organizations, bigger financial institutions, these would be in the $50 to $100 billion or more category in terms of assets, really focused on product innovation. So they're, you know, concepting and contextualizing new products that their consumers want. They are looking, you know, at potentially, you know, outflanking either other larger banks they really see as their competitors, you know, or fintechs. Interestingly, the survey kind of broke down along size, so that smaller innovations really seem to be focused heavily on features. And there's a bunch of reasons why this could be. This is, you know, some conjecture on my part, but I think it's reasonable. You know, part of it goes down to the concept of incremental innovation idea of, you know, keeping your consumers close to you and making sure that they're satisfied. And one of the things that the survey showed was that, you know, smaller banks really look at the guy across the street, the bank across the street, you know, as really their primary competition. So they're trying to make sure that the way they define innovation, they're at least bringing out, you know, new capabilities that improve the consumer experience, you know, kind of regularly. I think what both of these things really point to, though, Karen, which is really, you know, important, is that regardless of how you define innovation, whether that's going to be, you know, broad and disruptive or narrow and incremental, you know, you really need to have some kind of a business agenda behind it, mm-hmm. You know, that drives the innovation. One other point I would make here that we found interesting and that the data showed, actually two points. One is that, you know, broadly speaking, when financial institutions, you know, looked at what were the drivers of why they would innovate, it was really around client needs, so both existing and potential client needs, and then reacting to consumer behavior. So those were big. Those were like the top three things that came out of, you know, the study that sort of showed what was driving it. What's sort of an interesting fourth aspect I find fascinating, which is that the larger FIs, that $100 billion range and higher, are actually investing heavily in digital. Mm-hmm. So there was no distinction in the former comment that I made, but in the latter, larger FIs actually believe that they're behind in digital, mm-hmm. And they're actually spending more. Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned that earlier in your intro, and I think that, you know, digital continues to drive a big part of the agenda, but it's really not the only thing. But the larger FIs seem to be heavily focused there, both at the product and the feature level.
Yeah, I thought that the one of the interesting takeaways that you just pointed out is that the agenda is driven by keeping existing customers happy. I think it does speak to the concern about leaving for the competition, whatever the competition means to that particular institution, but satisfying existing customer demand is really important, and understandably so. And I think that's where a lot of the digital influence certainly comes into play too.
It does, and I think also it lends to the fact that that's where the money is, right? So, this was a focus. We specifically set out to look at what financial institutions, banks, and credit unions are doing. And, what it says is that, they're trying to differentiate and focus a lot of their efforts specifically around the payments domain, because that's where, a lot of the money is going to be made in the next several years. So, that focus is intense.
I also thought it was interesting in terms of how FIs characterize themselves as innovators. I mean, clearly everyone regards themselves as being an innovator. I think particularly when you get to the smaller FIs, I mean, clearly they view themselves as fast followers for a variety of reasons that we'll get to in just a minute. But, it does suggest that they're paying attention to what is going on around them, look at what some of their larger counterparts are doing, and then obviously making sure that they don't let too much grass grow under their feet in order to bring that inside their own organization for their customers.
Yeah, well, they have to be looking at this, right? They've got to be finding ways to continue to bring more value to their customers. Obviously, for the smaller players, they've got relationship, they've got, some sense of local geographic, attachment to the customers they serve. And, they're never going to outspend the biggest players, right? That's obviously something we can talk about in this conversation today. There's just no way for them to put in the kind of money that the biggest players, put in, or even the top performers put in. The top and biggest aren't necessarily the same thing. But there is an interesting opportunity. I think the data shows this, and we'll get into this, around, how the playing field can be leveled to a certain degree. But just like anything else in any competitive marketplace, if you can't, provide more value and differentiate, it's going to be a tough business to stay competitive in, and the smallest players understand this.
Yep, sure. So that's a great segue to data point number two, and that is 54.2%. We are very precise with this data, and that's the number of or percentage of FIs who report that they have more funding allocated to payments innovation than any other bank product or service. And I thought that was actually remarkable. I mean, clearly the first data point suggests that there's an intense focus on innovation, but there's also the money where the mouth is point that I think this data point actually reflects.
Yeah, it does. And it kind of harkens back a little bit to what I said a minute ago, in that, the focus around payments innovation, it is intense. It clearly is an area that financial institutions know they need to do well in. So, I too was surprised to see, the funding elements being, well over 50%, specifically in this discipline, payments, versus other areas where a bank might invest in. But, interestingly enough, going back to the precision of the data, the other thing that we saw, again, same statistic, not necessarily the same people responded, but 54.2%, interestingly, also said that the next biggest innovations they will do in the coming 3 years are just focused in payments. So clearly this is an area, where banks of any size, know they need to be spending time.
Yeah, and looking forward, as we did get a sense of where the last couple of years of innovation was focused, not surprisingly, digital wallets, P2P and onboarding, new levels of fraud management. Any surprises when, from your standpoint, when looking at the focus going forward?
I think it really varies by the size of institution. So we didn't actually see significant differences in specific areas that they would, you know, rapidly go to next. I think everyone sees that the digital play is key. There is some level of incremental innovation around digital wallets that's, you know, starting to phase out a little bit. I think what it really boils down to is, really providing a good customer experience. And there's a lot of pieces that play into customer experience. Some of that's digital. Some of that's the kinds of solutions you can bring to market, whether those are products or services. And when you have, platforms that are disparate platforms, you can't always deliver, that same common digital experience. So one of the interesting findings, has to do with, having essentially multifunction systems that can, provide a consistent user experience across, all platforms. You could think about credit, debit, prepaid, whatever, as well as having efficiency in the development of those innovations and getting them into market. And I think this is an interesting area. So it's less about what's the next big thing. It's just more about, as banks are focused on, satisfying the needs of their customers, having that common experience is pretty key. And so the data shows that that's hard to do. There's a difficulty in having that common customer experience because platforms are different across some of those disciplines. So that's something that, banks are aware of and they need to figure out how to solve, but that is a big obstacle.
I thought the focus on user experience was interesting. I think that's a recognition that consumers do have an expectation that it's a smooth, seamless, friction-free experience. They've been pretty much trained to expect that in other aspects of their digital lives, and so they clearly hold their financial institution up to those same standards, and there's a recognition that they need to actually do better.
I think that they, all see that there's now, depending again on who you are, so going back to the beginning of this conversation, if you're a bigger player, you're focused on, the big guys around you and the fintechs, and the fintechs are innovating very much, I'll just use the term Silicon Valley style, because that's where I sit, but they're able to do things with flexibility of platform that's harder for incumbent banks and legacy players to match, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this kind of goes to the heart of, what the survey kind of shows is that, innovation, you have to have a bunch of things in place to really be able to do it, right? So one thing you have to have is the will to do it.
Right.
You've got to have the ability. So you've got to have a platform that you can work with, and you've got to have a way to sort of see if what it is that you're innovating is useful and then be able to do something with it. So that, they all kind of raised their hands at the survey and said, we see that these things are needed. The survey does an interesting job of pointing out just how healthy the industry is in terms of being able to support, payments innovation, but it's clearly marked out really clearly in the index how that looks.
So that's also another good segue to data point number three. And you talk about the ingredients for successful innovation. And here's where a statistic starts to look a little dreary. We've gone from 64% to 54.2, 36%, and that is the percentage of FIs who said that their infrastructure, their IT systems, make innovation difficult, either hard or very hard. And the happy side to this statistic is that 70% of FIs who report having a flexible infrastructure say that their recent innovations were extremely successful. So it's kind of a tale of two infrastructures, if you will. What do you make of that?
It is. I think it's interesting. I think one thing it does show is when you look at the you know, the top performers, they had certain characteristics. They have certain characteristics. It's actually at the back of the index and definitely worth people downloading and reading. But, you know, one of those things was just how flexible their system was, right? So those that had the more flexible, configurable platform, you know, could do great things. Mm-hmm. They also had a lot of funding, so that helped too, right? Mm-hmm. There was the focus, you know, that was there. I think what I find interesting though about the top performers, so that group that says, you know, 70% of the innovations we did were highly successful, and oh yeah, by the way, you know, we've got, you know, this flexible platform in place that helps us do this. This kind of goes to sort of the other major issue around innovation. Remember earlier I mentioned, you know, you kind of really need to have a business agenda associated with an innovation, you know, approach. Like, there's no point in like trying to innovate on the side and sort of see what happens, right, not be able to do something with it and also monetize it. That's one part of what innovation really needs to be thought about in terms of payments innovation. But then the other part is you've got to be able to almost turn this into, you know, your regular diet, your regular course of how you do business. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting thing to think about. And there's been a lot written about this, but when you think of, you know, generally speaking, larger financial institutions, you know, they'll have invested large amounts of money in labs and, you know, kind of innovation centers. And that's fine. I'm not saying that's good or bad. But, you know, the reality is that really isn't really, that's not enough. You've got to make this work and to be able to monetize it and to be able to get rapid market feedback. Not only do you need to have that flexibility, but you need to be able to innovate something, you know, kind of in a sandbox environment and then scale it if it works, you know, instantly. And so this becomes sort of a mentality, you could say, of how to bring innovation into your organization and make it part of your regular product management process. It shouldn't really be treated as a separate thing you kind of do out to the side and then try and bring it back in. It should just become part of what it is that you're doing. And I think the data kind of backs it up a little bit, at least from the standpoint of, you know, certainly some institutions focused heavily on features, some did products, and some did both. But if you don't have that mentality of constantly trying things and being able to execute on it in a practical way, you know, out into the market, you know, you're not going to do well from an innovation perspective. So I think you have to have all of those pieces, and the data kind of supports that.
Yeah, I thought the statistic, of these, again, the top performing banks who really zeroed in on the importance of the sandbox to scale capability, 83.6% said that their existing processing platforms lack that capability. I remember that being one of the things that in my interview with the director of payments for the ABA, he found a little hard to believe and suggested that that was an industry call to action, that it really, the sandbox for testing innovation and then scaling it immediately is something that is absolutely critical.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reality is it's a little bit of a wake-up call for industry. I think, you know, when you look at legacy players, they know that this is an issue.
Right.
And it's manifested in the data that you see, right? And so, you know, this is for those financial institutions, you know, that can, you know, that see the value in payments innovation, clearly want to invest in it, understand the need for flexibility, and can find that either in their existing organization or through, you know, some other, you know, vendor relationship, you know, they're going to do well. For those that don't see that or can't move to that for whatever the reason is, it's going to be a, you know, a tougher road for them. You know, so, you know, some of the data, you know, that the study surfaced was interesting. And again, I think it really goes back to the heart of just what is the role of agility in payments. And I think it's pretty substantial. You know, the top performers, all, you know, many of them, I think it was like 70%+, said that their core processing systems for payments, specifically for payments, were well suited. Mm-hmm. But then when you take a look at, you know, some of the bigger statistics that showed up even beyond that, you know, the top performers, you know, like 90% of what we would call top performer in the index rolled out new products, you know, and services before everybody else. And that's pretty telling that they have the will They have the ability, so they've got the flexibility. They're able to test in a sandbox environment, scale it, you know, relatively quickly, immediately is arguable what that means. And they have the funding, you know, to support all of that. So kind of when you wrap all of those things together, I think that really shows, you know, why top performers are, you know, the best out there doing this.
Yeah, and they obviously also have a good sense of what their customer base wants and needs, and can laser focus on that. I also think that it's interesting, you called this out, but maybe we can spend a minute digging into it. You said biggest and top performing banks are quite different, and it was striking that you often think of the two things as synonymous, but top performing banks don't necessarily have to be the biggest. They, to your point, have a focus on innovation and an intense connection with what their customers need and want, and the funding to go get it done, as well as obviously the infrastructure to support getting it to market.
Yeah, and yeah, biggest and top are not the same thing. That's really, really important. You know, one of the things I think that will come in, you know, in the coming months is sort of a look at, you know, what are best practices around top, right? What does that mean? And how can you actually beat that? I think there is hope on the horizon.
Yep.
For an FI of any size, that you can actually be top without being biggest. What biggest gets you potentially is funding. Okay. The part that then you struggle with, and this was noted in the survey, I don't have the exact statistic, but you know, fairly significant number of folks said in the survey that just the organizational agility to be able to try and innovate, even amongst, you know, larger banks, could be challenging. So just because you're a big bank with a lot of funding, if you don't have the appetite or the, you know, internal mentality to do it, you know, it's you know, it's not going to help you. So you have to have all those aspects to be top, and there definitely is a distinction between top and biggest.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Sometimes larger FIs have a lot of other things to deal with that does make moving quickly more of a challenge. Can we spend a minute, Mark, on the competition? Because I thought that was also an interesting result, even though I know we're only supposed to be technically dealing with three data points. What the heck? Let's really go crazy here. I thought that was interesting that it does suggest that, of course, everyone is worried about the, you know, the guy across the street, large banks and small banks. But were you surprised at the extent to which some of the FIs, some of the fintechs that were called out were considered real sources of competition for FIs?
I wasn't surprised. I think we expected to sort of see it. You know, what the fintechs bring, you know, is a mentality and a technology stack that allows them to be, you know, very competitive. Without naming names, and if you think of the different kinds of payment and lending platforms out there, you know, these are all, again, I'm just using Silicon Valley as a term. I don't mean this physical area. Yeah, but that mentality of going after legacy businesses and challenging them for customers through better experience, what we talked about earlier, right? So if you can provide a better solution, a more useful or usable, you know, set of payments capabilities that meets the consumer you're going after in a certain way, that's a big risk for the largest players as well as the smallest. So I think, you know, working out as I do at Silicon Valley, I wasn't surprised, you know, to see it. I would actually point back to a kind of a couple of interesting statistics. One, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about the sandbox concept. So amongst the top performers, the ones that could, you know, innovate in a sandbox, like 40% of them, they were, you know, essentially in that top strata. Mm-hmm. And so from an FI perspective, you know, they know they're competing, you know, against the fintechs. Smaller, interestingly enough, another statistic we saw, which kind of, you know, surprised us, was that amongst smaller players, smaller banks, I should say. So let's call this, like, you know, under a billion, under 500 million, which is a large number, quite frankly, of the number of financial institutions in the United States, which this index surveyed. You know, they'd be PayPal as a mm-hmm. primary competitor. You know, yet another Silicon Valley, you know, fintech, right. You could call it, I guess, an old fintech. So yet again, you know, you're seeing, you know, fintechs kind of up and down the line that are kind of competing, you know, for customers. And really just still all points back to the same thing, which is that having a flexible infrastructure for payments where you can concept new capabilities, you can, you know, roll out new products and be more disruptive to compete against some of the fintech players, or you can do the incremental innovation to keep pace with what, you know, the guy across the street is doing so you can maintain your customers. You know, that's a crucial aspect. And I think the survey really goes deep on explaining the, you know, the statistics that show that flexibility and how much that is needed to succeed in payments innovation.
Yeah, I you know, when you look at how the competitive presence or fear factor really lays out across size of bank, the very largest are worried about the other large guys. And then increasingly, you know, if you think about the unbundling of banking, some of the alt players that provide point right. solutions like lending, and then, you know, the fintechs who again provide different slices of payments capability. So I thought that was a fascinating insight. It was interesting, very interesting to see how it arrays across the size of banks. So in the couple minutes we have left, Mark, I'd love to just kind of get your reflections on this topic overall. I mean, we clearly identified that FIs have made payments innovation a focus. They're putting money against it more so than other services in the organization, and recognize the need to have a flexible infrastructure to support it. I guess the question is, what's the call to action? What happens next? How do we give these financial institutions the flexibility and the tools that they need to do what they want to do?
Well, I think, you know, I think probably the biggest thing is just there needs to be an understanding in the industry that there are alternatives. So, you know, there are more flexible systems out there that financial institutions could consider. So, you know, kind of look for those. I think, you know, this whole concept of agile processing, agility and payments has real legs. I mean, I think the survey has kind of supported that theory. Like I knew it was there, but, you know, sometimes you need to kind of go to market and get data and have people, you know, validate that. And I think that's shown up here, right? So, you know, if you just look at the U.S. credit processing market in place today, I mean, there has not been much innovation at a legacy processing level, you know, in a long time. But there are alternatives out there. We're a player. ITC is a player like this, and there are others out there as well. I think, you know, not making a choice to do something is making a choice.
Yep.
As well, right? I mean, it's just because you don't take action, you know, doesn't mean that you're, you know, you're okay. It just means that, you know, you decided to do something different. So, you know, I think you've got to kind of understand, you know, what's the value of a differentiated payment solution? What does it mean to your business? What does it mean to your overall relationship with your customer? You know, who are your competitors? And then, you know, can you find an innovation platform, you know, and a partner that can kind of help you de-risk that move? Mm-hmm. There's you know, some risk to that, but it can be significantly to, like, essentially completely mitigated. And those that are kind of out there, I think, on the tip of the spear, you know, looking to make those changes and take in an innovation agenda, match it with a business agenda, and be able to monetize it, you know, they're going to do well. So, you know, first and foremost, it's, can you identify players out there, you know, that can kind of support that, and then look at what it takes to, you know, take action and make a move, you know, migrate to a more suitable platform. Clearly, what the survey shows is kind of a wrapping up comment is that the state of play in terms of a lot of the existing infrastructure that's out there just isn't good enough.
Right.
So it's kind of a wake up call, certainly for industry, but it is as much for financial institutions as it is for the vendors. You know, you've got to fight off fintechs, you've got to find off bigger players, you're smaller, and you've got to look at the guy across the street. And just sort of staying in the same place just, you know, that's a high risk decision, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, it's all true, and the study that we did together is really good. I think it identified, perhaps confirmed some of the hypothesis we had going into it, and I think surfaced a number of new things that we will be examining in further detail as the months go on. So I would encourage everyone listening to download the index, the Bank Readiness Innovation Index, and to get that on payments.com. And Mark, thanks for your time today. I really enjoyed the insights.
Absolutely. Thank you, Karen. Great to be with you.
Thank you. And thanks everyone who gave us your time today. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great rest of the week in the meantime. Thank you.